Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow...
Oh, Andy Williams with a holiday classic, Sleigh Ride. That song was just named by the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers as the most popular traditional holiday song of 2025. And even though sleighs are now mostly associated with Christmas and Santa Claus, sleighs used to be a common form of transportation in many places, including right here in Wisconsin. Larry Mueller here, and we're talking about the history of sleigh transportation for the next half hour with our two guests. Jim Willard is a curator at Wade House, the Wisconsin Historical Society's Living Museum near Sheboygan. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
And with us as well, Howard Ketsky, and he owns 30 carriages and sleighs?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
That comes and goes.
Comes and goes. Well, as we move along today, I hope as you listen, you'll join in. Have you ever ridden in a sleigh? What do you want to know about sleighs being a normal way to get around? Do you wish that sleighs were still common today? Are you jealous of Santa's ride? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Well, let's get into the history of sleigh travel. When did sleigh travel originate in Wisconsin, Jim?
Well, sleigh travel has been in Wisconsin since since before we've had Wisconsin. Sleighs actually go back, and along with sleds, to ancient Egypt and moving forward. So there's carriages, there's sleighs, there's carriages that trade out their wheels in the winter for runners. So as long as there have been people here, there have been sleigh-related vehicles.
So how is sleigh travel seen as an improvement over other types of transportation at that time?
Well, sleighs have a huge advantage in the winter because they don't get stuck as easily as wheels do. And on top of that, you don't need a road. You can travel over a field as long as there's snow or ice. You can travel over a lake or a river. Or you can take what is traditionally the road. So it can make travel between two points more economical and faster. And also, it makes it easier to haul things.
And Howard, you've got sleighs and buggies.
Yes, I do. And we call them carriages.
Called carriages?
Yeah, sleighs and carriages.
All right. So the carriages aren't going to work as well as the sleighs in the situations Jim described.
Well, like Jim said, you can take the wheels off and put sleigh runners on a carriage. That was a pretty common event.
Oh, it was. What are the runners made of?
Steel and wood.
Yeah, and that's been the case forever, Jim?
Well, for several centuries, since there's been blacksmithing and wrought and cast iron, the steel tends to be the surface of the runner that comes in contact with the ground, and the framework is wood.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Howard, how the heck did you wind up with all those sleighs and carriages?
I thought everybody had that many. No, it's been a passion of mine for 50 years to collect and restore and drive and compete with sleighs and carriages. I see them as a piece of art. You know, it's a piece of art that was made industrially. Very talented people could craft things that were just, to me, a beautiful thing to collect. So I don't collect my paintings on the wall. I collect my carriages in the carriage house.
You mentioned competition. Are there, what kind of competition, races or?
Well, with sleighs, there's what we call sleigh rallies, where people gather together with their sleighs, and they may have some competitions, say a course of pine trees that they have to circumvent through, or there may be just who has the most beautiful sleigh and the most beautiful horses pulling it. How are they adorned? You know, do they have bells on? Do they have plumes on, feathers on? You know, what? What makes a kind of a delightful scene?
Yeah, that and I can kind of picture that. I, in my head. Thanks for that description. Yeah, Jim, you were going to add.
Historically, sleigh rallies could be a bit more of a social event, often with dinner or perhaps a dance before or after. We've got some notes from 19th century where the sleigh rally was a dating or courting situation. A young man would take a young lady out in his sleigh. And even a few notes about crossing bridges, and when you cross the bridge in the sleigh, you would exact a toll from the young lady. Now, sometimes in small towns with very few bridges could be an issue, so you'd have to cross the same bridge several times during the course of the ride.
Oh, I love that. And somebody else is wondering, back to you, Howard, and I'm thinking about this myself, where in the heck would I put 30 sleighs and carriages? Where do you store them?
Well, generally, if you're going to collect carriages, you got to have some buildings. And generally, the building is called a carriage house.
Hmm.
So the carriages are stored there. You know, they need to be stored away from the horses because the outflow of the horses is caustic to the paint on the sleigh.
Oh.
So you keep them separate.
Oh. Dan in Edgerton has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Dan.
Hi there. Yeah. You know, we always associate bells on sleighs. We don't see them on carriages. So what's with the sleighs having the bells?
Howard, go ahead.
And Dan knows the answer to this very well. The sleigh bells were required by ordinance of the local municipality. Sleighs travel over the snow very silently. The horses make no noise with their footfall, and the sleigh runners make no noise. So if you were sleighing at night and approaching another sleigh, you would not see them. They would not hear you unless you had bells. So the ordinances would say, in this municipality, you needed to have a minimum of 3 bells, and each bell needed to have 3 clappers. So if you lost a clapper, you still had a bell.
Wow!
So it was for safety.
Oh, that's
but
pretty
it was,
good.
But it was also for entertainment. Bells became the kind of identification of a family because all bell strings sound different. So if I heard a bell coming toward me as I'm sleigh riding, I could identify who that was. They knew that was the Miller family driving by. And that's really why a lot of sleigh bells have existed or continue to be coveted by families, because that was their family identification.
Very, very interesting. Thanks for that comment, Dan. Appreciate it. I'm sorry. And another Dan emailed us, who grew up in Amory, with the last horse his grandfather, Al York, used for winter delivery of mail on Route 3. Using a horse and cutter was more reliable for getting the mail out in winter weather, as motor vehicles weren't so dependable or suited for driving through snow, and the roads would often be impassable. This covered the period from the 20s into the 40s, if Don recalls correctly. Don thinks his grandfather sometimes would get invited into a customer's home for a quick warm-up and a cup of coffee. Isn't that a great story?
Yeah,
it is. And, you know, we don't think about this very often, but the transition from the horse to the internal combustion engine didn't happen overnight. There was a lot of side-by-side use of both types of vehicles, both for personal transportation and for industrial and deliveries. We have a couple of great pieces in our collection at Waite House that were owned by the Herzog Meat Company. They used them to deliver sides of beef and other meat products to people's homes. And they have, you know, as I mentioned earlier, they have wheels, they have runners, and they used them well into the 20th century.
Hmm.
And Wisconsin being an agricultural community, primarily dairying, farmers had to take their milk to the creamery, you know, maybe more than once a week. Mm-hmm. In winter, they didn't have the spoilage problem, but they still had to empty the cans so they make room for more milk. So that was done by sleighs in the winter.
Very cool. Claire wonders, at one point, were sleighs as common as cars are today, you know, relationally speaking? Did everybody own one? Or, I mean, every family have a sleigh?
I'd say in the country, everybody owned one. And I did some research looking at the sleigh manufacturers in the United States and looking primarily at the sleigh manufacturers in Wisconsin. The two big ones were Northwestern Manufacturing in Fort Atkinson and Janesville Carriage in Janesville, Wisconsin. And the records were available for Northwestern. And between the period of 1885 and 1889, they averaged like 2,500 sleighs a year.
And making them.
Making them. And Janesville was the same similar size factory. So we can say probably was with certainty that there were at least 5,000 sleighs made in Wisconsin per year.
And those are a couple of the larger manufacturers. Up around Sheboygan, Fond du Lac County, we had Mitchler in Fond du Lac, who started making sleighs in 1884. And we also had the Young Carriage Company of Sheboygan, who made custom wagons and sleighs and carriages, pretty much whatever you wanted to order, starting in the mid-1840s.
Really, really cool. Talking with a couple of guys here about the history of sleighs, Jim Willard, curator at Wade House, the Wisconsin Historical Society's Living History Museum near Sheboygan, and Howard Ketzke, a member of the Carriage Association of America, the Dairyland Driving Club, and a past board member of the Carriage Museum of America. He owns about 30 carriages and sleighs. Great to have both of them with us. And if you have a question, I hope, or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. A quick big thanks to everybody who donated during our year-end member drive. With your help, we received over 2,000 donations. Big thanks to people like Heidi and Jeff of Madison, who are regular contributors. If you miss the member drive, there's still time to join in with your gift. And just do that. Go to WPR.org. Taking a look at the history of sleighs today with our two guests, Jim Willard and Howard Ketzke. And again, join in. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. I'm wondering, you know, I think we all, you can hardly avoid seeing a photo of Santa on a sleigh or in a sleigh. Is that what they all look like?
Well, there's a lot of variation in Santa's sleigh, but probably the most common one you see him in would be a type of sleigh known as an Albany cutter. They tend to be a very lightweight sleigh with a kind of curving design, and the runners often curve all the way up to the top of and sometimes even beyond the top of the dashboard. And Santa, or I'm going to go a little different direction here, St. Nicholas is probably the first of our Christmas figures who would have been associated with a sleigh. The poem A Visit from St. Nicholas by Clement Moore came out in 1823, and in the poem he describes it, the sleigh and the eight tiny reindeer whom we all know today.
That is very, very cool. Ellen called, couldn't stay with us. How could you transition between seasons? Could a sleigh drive on dirt roads? No.
Not really. It'd be pretty abrasive on the runners. So as long as there was dirt, they would use the wheeled vehicles. But it was interesting what they did in winter. How did they clear the road for the sleighs? They didn't. They had something called a roller, which would be a giant wooden fabrication that was, could be 8 or 10 or 12 feet in diameter and 6 feet wide, 7 feet, 8 feet wide, pushed by horses, and they would roll the snow and cause it to be compacted so that it became a base for the horses to run on and the sleighs to run on. The problem is the roads were generally single-tracked.
Mm.
So if you were going east with a horse and a nice trotty clip, the horse was in the left. He was in front of the left runner, and the right runner was just going in the track itself. When you met somebody, you had to move over from the left track to the right track, and then the other sleigh coming toward you would do the same. So you could pass
You
could pass very close together. The problem was when you move from the two runners into the right runner and up on the bank, the sleigh becomes quite tippy.
I would think.
And there aren't any people left that rode in sleighs back then. But when you did talk to them, they had that experience of passing someone, getting up on the bank, and tipping over.
Oh, and then hopefully the other person would stop and help you right yourself.
Well, that could be an even more of a challenge if you're in an area around central Wisconsin with a plank road, because one lane of the road had the planks on it, the other lane didn't.
Oh, my goodness. Here's another email. How did you transition between seasons? Could a sleigh... Oh, you could change the sleigh into take the runners off.
Yeah, the spindle axles from the wheels had a it take the wheels off, and there was a mounting for the sleigh runners to mount right on those same spindles. But that was not the common. The common thing was to have a carriage in summer and a sleigh in winter.
And when did sleigh drives? When did they kind of go out of, when did people stop using them? I guess we've never stopped really using them, but when did they come out of fashion, I guess we could say?
Well, it was that point of transition from horse-drawn vehicles to, you know, power-driven vehicles, gasoline-driven vehicles. And that was, it started like in the 1912 up through the 1920, by 1920, the sleighs were pretty well obsoleted. By 30, they were probably gone.
Yeah.
But sleighs were small, so a lot of sleighs got put up in the barn, the granary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they existed up there until we discover them today.
And you're always looking.
yes. Don't tell my wife.
Glenn and Spooner has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Glenn.
I appreciate your guest.
Thank you.
I moved from Milwaukee as a kid in 1954. I was 15 years old, just ready for adventure up around Fairchild, Wisconsin. And we lived in an old farmhouse. And the neighbor there hauled out his manure when the snow was deep with a team of horses and a sled. Now, I just had the terminology switched around. I didn't know the difference between a sleigh and a sled. So I'm learning something here today. But the sled was a really interesting contraption because each runner was independent and it would flex over the bumps without throwing the whole load. I don't know if you've worked with those or not, but they're tremendous. And my first ride was through about 30 inches of snow. So we had to go back and forth and break a track first before we could pull out the wood that we had cut about a half mile from the house.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you?
Generally, those heavy sleighs are mounted on what they call bobs. There's a front bob and a back bob, and they pivot independently on the box. So that's why you can go over and under bumps or over bumps. The front bob has a pivot point, so it can be steered. The back bob is stationary, so it can't be steered. But many of your heavy wagons or heavy sleighs were built that way.
Well, Michael emailed us, where can you go in Wisconsin to take a sleigh ride today?
You can go to Wade House on February 14th. We're hosting a program called Over the River and Through the Woods. We will have horse-drawn sleighs available for rides. If the weather doesn't cooperate, we will have horse-drawn wagons for rides. So we're going either way. The best thing to do would be to make a reservation in advance, and you can do so by visiting our website, which is wadehouse.org, and scroll down to current events and look for Over the River and Through the Woods.
And it's Saturday, Valentine's Day.
That is correct.
So, hey, that'd be a pretty cool Valentine's
experience.
So, but I'm wondering, ticket holder, I mean, you have to get tickets, aren't you?
Tickets are available the day of if there are any left. Like I said, we strongly recommend making an advance reservation. It is a popular program.
Yeah. And is there a you can sign up to say, well, if I'm at the Wade House at 10 o'clock, I'm going to get.
Yes, we do take reservations by time slot.
Okay. And how many people get on a sleigh at the same time?
Unfortunately, I don't know for sure. I believe the big sleigh holds 8 to 10. But I don't know how many of the smaller sleigh holds.
Yeah, but that's pretty cool. And it would be kind of fun to be on with other people anyway.
Oh, yeah. We do provide blankets in case it's a little cold.
Okay. I like that. February 14th at the Wade House. That's great. Carrie and Cronin-Wetter, what's your comment?
Hi. I have a story my great aunt shared with me years ago, and she lived in Chicago, but was from the Green Valley area, just to the east of Merrill, and she would come up to visit her family on the farm there, and she said that she would have to take a snowboat from the train station out to Green Valley, where the farm was, and I'm wondering, what was a snowboat?
Maybe it was a colloquial term for...
Yeah, I've never heard that term, but generally small communities like that had some kind of livery service that went from the train station to maybe the hotel or some other central point. In summer, they would do it with a carriage, something like what we'd call an omnibus. It had seating for several people inside. In winter, I imagine they had the same kind of bobsled with seating for multiple people and could haul them to the point where they wanted to go.
I've had an experience at another museum with a stone boat. It could be a very similar vehicle. In this case, it's a low-profile sled like the ones you would send your kids down a hill on, and it's merely designed to haul materials, stones, people, whatever you can pile on top of it.
Yeah.
That's how they cleared the fields. They had these low stone bowls. They could roll the stone onto the boat and haul it off the field with the horses.
And Howard, you've got to have horses.
Yeah, everybody has to have horses.
You've
got to
have a horse if you're going to have a carriage or a sleigh. What are the best horses?
Mine are the best horses.
What breed? Let's put it that way.
I've got two Dutch harness horses, which are horses that are originally from the Netherlands. And I've got two Friesian Morgan crosses. That Friesian is also from the Netherlands. But really, any horse or pony can be generally trained to be a good conveyance on a sleigh or on a carriage. So we see Welsh, we see draft horses, we see Morgans, we see all different kinds of horses.
And somebody else is wondering, when did sleigh rides become associated with the Christmas and Santa Claus? You talked about that a little bit, Jim, but...
Oh, that goes way back when Christmas started becoming more of a societal holiday, a little bit less of a religious holiday. You'd see more of an increase in activity related to, just social gatherings. And at that point, you would have people taking sleigh rides from their home to other people's homes, again, into the sleigh rallies, evening sleigh rides that we mentioned earlier. So I'm going to say 18th century would be a good estimate, definitely by the late 19th century, when you're beginning to see more of a secular approach to Christmas.
This has been a lot of fun.
I donated a picture to the State Historical Society once, and it was from the early 1900s. It was printed in a German newspaper. It was a photo or a picture of the Grand Avenue in Milwaukee with a sleigh rally on it. And the text was encouraging Germans to come to America.
On sleighs. All right. Well, you guys slay me in another way. Jim and Howard, Jim Willard and Howard Kitsky, excuse me, our guests today. Great to have them with us and great to have you listening in. Thanks to you and thanks to our producer today, Jeff Robbins. He's also a technical director along with Lee Rayburn and our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.
There's a birthday party at the home of Farmer Gray.